It is my first visit here. I've been all over the world. And oddly, in the last few hours, I've been in two cities in my own country where I'd never been before. Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas.
This is Ozarks at Large. That was Howard Cosell. If you're of a certain age, you instantly recognize that voice. The reason we're hearing Howard Cosell, and we'll hear some other familiar voices, is because these voices are being brought to us by Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Most Mondays, we get together to go back through some archives from the Pryor Center, archives that came to the Pryor Center through KATV and are now being digitized. Randy, welcome back to Ozarks.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Kyle.
I love the subject matter for this week. It's broadcasters.
Well, I was just going through and realized that now these will mostly be ABC broadcasters, because KATV is an ABC affiliate. Whenever one of the big wigs would come to town, either for a sporting event or to speak at an event, KATV would always do at least a quick interview with one of the people. So, yes, you will recognize some voices. And as we would say in the business, they had great pipes.
Well, we're
have really good voices.
We're going to hear more from Mr. Cosell later. But we start off with a voice that I have to admit I did not instantly recognize.
Well, he's not one of your best known anchors or correspondents. This is Bill Lawrence. He was with ABC News in the 50s and 60s, and he was in Arkansas. He was at the U of A, and he was speaking about the, you know, this was 1968, and people were still talking about the JFK assassination and conspiracy theories, and he compared it to another presidential assassination.
You know, there are still people who have different theories about who shot Lincoln. I'm not joking. I'm deadly serious. This was such an unsatisfactory end to the arrest of Oswald that we can never satisfy history. We can never satisfy ourselves. But I, for one, think that Oswald fired those shots. I, for one, believe in the findings of the Chief Justice and Senator Russell, and Jerry Ford, Alan Dulles. I did not dispute the right of others to have other opinions, but I'm not going to let them change mine either.
Jules Bergman, who was a science correspondent and editor for the network.
And I remember this guy growing up because everything that had to do with space, every launch, every landing, any kind of coverage ABC did about space or science, he was there. He was the anchor, and he did it for a long time. He was the science editor from 61 until, I believe, 87. Hmm. So he had a long stint.
And here he was talking about what we might see in space technology and travel in the next few years.
Jules, what do you foresee as the next major projects in space?
Well, the next two projects we're coming up with, Herb, are the launching of our first SynCom, a synchronous communication satellite, in the final 2 weeks of this month. Three of these satellites, when they're operational, will be able to link the entire world with radio and television signals. So that first SynCom in about 2 weeks. And then our next man shot, Major Gordon Cooper, on a 22-orbit, 34-hour-and-a-half flight, landing in the Pacific. That's now scheduled for April 2nd at Cape Canaveral.
I think that your being honored as one of the nation's 10 outstanding young men is simply a formality that our Channel 7 ABC viewers have placed this honor on you for quite some time, listening and watching your coverage of space.
Well, I'm very grateful to you, Herb, and to the Channel 7 KATV viewers. As I said, I've accepted this award. It's really in the name of the scientists who have done the work that made my job possible.
Now, someone who is not associated with ABC, but we do have archival audio from, is
Well, he was so big that I think KTV had to talk to him. If you're any kind of a journalism junkie or know anything about journalism, the granddaddy of all journalism is Mr. Edward R. Murrow, correct?
Correct. I mean, one of the most prestigious awards in journalism is still called the Murrow Award.
Yes. And he came to Arkansas. He left under not the greatest of terms, leaving CBS. He was always, he was constantly fighting with management over editorial control and sponsors. And he ended up leaving, working for the United States government. He was head of the U.S. Information Agency, which one thing oversaw was the Voice of America. But he came to Little Rock, and he was speaking in general about world affairs.
I sit on the National Security Council and on the Executive Committee of the National Security Council. I certainly have seen no signs that foreign policy is being made on the basis of a popularity contest. It seems to me that policy is made as a result of a combination of political, economic, military, and to a certain extent, psychological factors as well. But certainly I've seen no indication in the last more than 2 years of policy being determined by what is likely to be popular in a given country.
That is Edward R. Murrow when he was in Arkansas. We're reviewing some of the great broadcasting voices that have visited Arkansas. These are archives from the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. The archives are being digitized thanks to gifts from Barbara Tyson and the Tyson Foods Foundation. Let's continue with Harry Reasoner.
Right, and most people know Harry Reasoner from 60 Minutes on CBS, but before he went to CBS and helped found 60 Minutes, which, by the way, he won 3 Emmys and a Peabody Award for. He worked for ABC, and he was a correspondent. And he was asked by one of the KTV reporters just in general about the 72 election.
I think the one overall thing that Wisconsin shows us is what we began to get a hint of in Florida and in New Hampshire and from the polls, which is a tremendous sort of dissatisfaction this election year that's different from the dissatisfaction we had in 68, the violence and the demonstrations. I think we've got what we've got now, and what Senator McGovern put his finger on, is the kind of a middle class resentment of the way things are going. I thought he was very accurate and very shrewd to say that he and George Wallace appeal basically to the same kind of people. Because it is now, this time, a middle-class resentment of high cost of living, inflation, the continuing problem with the war, violence in the streets, and all that sort of thing. If we had a youth rebellion in 1968, we got a middle-aged rebellion in 1972.
And another familiar voice, if you watched ABC Nightly News for a while, was Howard K. Smith.
Yes. Howard was a staple. He was one of the original correspondents known as the Murrow Boys, and Edward R. Murrow and a group of correspondents covered Europe during World War II, and he was part of that group and became known on ABC as a reporter and anchor, and he was asked about the competency, really, of television news and their ability to cover in-depth reports like the Watergate investigation.
No television network was prepared to invest the reporters unused for several months to dig out the story. I'm sorry we didn't, but up until recently, television has not been a good means of investigative reporting. The press has done better. I hope that's being changed now. We've learned something.
Is television news of age now?
No, I don't think so. I think we still have a lot to learn. We have to, I hope we can get longer programs with fewer commercials. Right now we're given 30 minutes, but actually it comes down to 22 minutes when you take out time for all the things we have to put in. We can't come of age until we have at least 30 minutes to tell the public what they need to know.
We've talked right now mostly about broadcasters known for news coverage. We're going to shift into sports a little bit, but it's when sports really turned into news at the 72 Olympics.
Right. They did both. They had to wear multiple hats. The ABC sports crew was in Munich for the Olympics, and a Palestinian terror group took a group of Israeli Olympic team members hostage. And suddenly, all that live coverage shifted from news to sports, or sports to news.
Right.
And they even brought in a young Peter Jennings, who helped on the news side. But it was all anchored by sportscasters.
These guerrillas are from one of the very extreme left-wing groups, a group called Black September.
They had set a deadline of noon, which is just an hour and 15 minutes away, saying that they were going to kill all of their hostages at that time. At this moment, 8 or 9 terrified living human beings are being held prisoner. What we get from the airport is that, quote, all hell is broken loose out there, that there is still shooting going on, but all seems to be confusion. Nothing is nailed down. We have no idea what has happened to the hostages.
If there had not been terrorist attacks at the 1972 Olympics, we'd still be talking about the 72 Olympics all these years later. That was, you know, the year that Olga Korbut became the first gymnast to really capture the world's imagination the way she did. It was the year that the Russians beat the Americans in the gold medal Olympic game under very controversial circumstances. It's the year that Dave Waddell came out of nowhere to win his race against the top two Kenyan runners. It was a magnificent sporting event, but of course, what we have to remember it for is this tragic outcome.
Gotten the final word. You know, when I was a kid, my father used to say, our greatest hopes and our worst fears are seldom realized. Our worst fears have been realized tonight. They have now said that there were 11 hostages. 2 were killed in their rooms yesterday morning. 9 were killed at the airport tonight. They're all gone.
Now, one of the ABC sportscasters who was known not just for the Olympics, but really for announcing everything from cliff diving to pro bowling was Chris Schenkel.
He could do everything.
He was on Wide World of Sports, right?
And he was Wide World of Sports. And he showed that he could make that shift back and forth. And he talked to Bud Campbell about the difficulty of having to suddenly make that switch.
And then the real difficult part was when Rune Erlich said in my ear on the little earpiece we have for communications, he said, now it's your job in about 30 seconds to make the transition from tragedy to fun and games again.
Which is tough, isn't it?
I didn't really know what I was going to say, but I listened to a tape recently and it made sense, but that was about it. I just, without a smile on my face, I just said, let's go back to competition. The Olympic Games are staged for that reason and not for murder.
We announced the other day, of course, that ABC had the rights to the 76 Summer Games in Montreal, and Rune Erlich, ABC sports president, really pulled a little bit of a coup there, didn't he?
He really did, and of course, we're glad to have it. I flew up to Montreal with him for the press conference announcing that ABC had spent $25 million for the exclusive rights, and it only made me think one thing, because I still haven't gotten over the tiredness of Munich, is that, gosh, Bud, we're going to have at least 100 hours on the air to break even.
Now, Chris Schenkel was talking to Bud Campbell. Bud Campbell is a legend in Arkansas, and we're going to hear more from him right now. Help us understand what we're about to hear, Randy.
Okay, well, before there was Paul Eales, there was Bud Campbell. Bud Campbell was huge. He did, not only was he the voice of the Razorbacks, but he did ABC regional broadcasts. So he was known by the ABC Sports Network to the point that there was a young athletes dinner being held here in Arkansas that Bud was hosting, and they got Howard Cosell to come down and co-host it with him. And anyone who doesn't know who Howard Cosell is, he was known for, what, Monday Night Football?
Oh, my.
Having his big fights with Muhammad Ali. But, you know, he was arrogant and blustery and verbose in his persona. And I say it that way because he often was accused of just basically overusing the English language. So this is how Bud Campbell introduced him at this formal dinner.
This may be a little tough on me, ladies and gentlemen, but in the often nugatory course of human existence, amid the viscous, turgid ebb and flow of everyday incidents, please, there comes now and again, at widely disparate intervals, the opportunity to indulge in an act of...
Just love this. And of course, Howard Cosell was ubiquitous. You mentioned Monday Night Football, his legendary verbal sparring with Muhammad Ali. He was also on Monday Night Baseball. He did some college football. He had a daily radio show. He was everywhere. So you can hear the laughter in the crowd. They get what Bud Campbell is doing seconds into it.
Absolutely.
And what I also love is the timing of Bud Campbell there when he just says, please. I mean, he was in full persona. He was on his mark.
Yeah, I'd like to know how long it took him to craft that out. I don't know.
Now,
but
Cosell was a polarizing figure. Many people hated him. Many people loved him. But what you had to say about him was he was sharp. And he could obviously give as good as he could get.
I do want to say one thing about Bud Campbell. Known him a lot of years. Mediocrity always seeks its own level. There's absolutely no question in our mind in the headquarters in New York, Bud, that given the right opportunity and the right business, you've got a future.
And he didn't just stop with Bud Campbell, did he?
Oh, no. The governor at the time was Dale Bumpers, and he decided he'd just make it a roast, I guess. And he lit into Dale Bumpers and his wife, Betty.
The governor has said that he fell asleep last night waiting for me to be funny on the Johnny Carson show with a diminutive Hebraic comic known as David Steinberg. I shall advise the governor at this moment that Mrs. Bumpers and I have thus far had a manifestly enjoyable evening with a developing relationship. And governor, I do not think it untoward at this moment to state that your marital relationship is not so secure as you might have presumed it to be.
Okay, Randy Dixon is a great sport. He also brings us archives from the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History almost every Monday. These are archives that are being digitized originally from KATV, being digitized with a gift from Barbara Tyson and the Tyson Foods Foundation. We're going to keep this up, aren't we, Randy?
Absolutely, as long as you'll have me.
All right.
See you every Monday.